Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. You got all three of us tonight. Woohoo! We're all here. We're all talking. We're all live.
Yay.
My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York, and I'm broadcasting tonight from the Bright Red Desk, and I am joined by my camarades in astrology. Mark, you out there?
Mark Waltz, also in New York, over on the west side on the Hudson River.
Yep. And Heather Rowan Robbins. On the west side of the country, over here in Ronan, Montana.
Okay.
Yeah. And here we are the night before the eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
The big eclipse of the summer, one of the big three of the summer. So what do you guys think is the eclipse going to bring us?
Well, it's an interesting one, and directly opposed Pluto in the sign of the mother and the father, the Cancer. And I think that we're seeing the coming to the head of all of the issues around parenting in America. It's interesting that with this eclipse coming, because we always feel eclipses at least a month ahead of time, that the question around taking children away at the border and around Trump threatening Ecuador with financial sanctions for putting up a bill about promoting breastfeeding in the UN. I thought both of those were remarkably Cancerian, Capricornian issues. So we might find a place in ourselves where we have to deal with what's the difference between what I want at home and what my work is. So what do you think, Mark?
Yeah. Yeah, very, very much. And Pluto figures in it a lot. We're going to keep seeing more and more Pluto in things as we go along, especially in this country. And Pluto is about power, and it's about the abuse of power. It's also about the very careful focusing of power. So, you know, and what it seems to me is it's showing us how we use power, how we abuse it, and how it's meant to be used. So study it and make some decisions.
Uh-huh.
And that's not just on the politics level, not just on the national level, but it's around us all in our local communities, our jobs, our lives. So look and see how does power play in the life around you, and are there things that need to be changed? Because now is the time.
I agree.
And essentially, we're all having a Pluto transit with this eclipse, so we're all learning a different definition of power on some level,
right,
in terms of how it hits our chart or what it does to our chart or how we're affected by it. So,
and I think
have
our priorities reorganized.
Yeah. It really pushes. It's a real pushy eclipse.
It is, and it's coming on the heels of two grand trines this week, which had a powerful effect on some of the good in the news. Yesterday, the Sun is trine Jupiter and Neptune, and in exact trine, Sun, Jupiter, Neptune, and we have a separating but still tight Venus, Uranus, Saturn grand trine in Earth signs. And I really saw that play out in the rescue of the kids in Thailand, that we had this good luck around water, Jupiter-Neptune trine, with the Sun exactly in that trine as they were rescued. And it was, a release from being entombed in the ground. And I, with the Saturn-Uranus-Venus grand trine. So I think that there's also, it's just not happening in our government at the moment, but there's hopeful edges. It's interesting also that Elon Musk today said that he would like to pay for the technology necessary to get healthy water to Flint, Michigan. And I know in Minnesota they're having a big meeting around the rights of the water and inviting all of the indigenous water leaders to that. So there's some positive pieces around the edges. I just feel that, they're in such sharp contrast to the politics of our country.
Well, and
NATO
also
talks
the whole,
that are going on
all
now.
The stuff about polluters can dump whatever they want to in rivers, it just got overturned by, the guy in the White House. And you know, release. You know, yeah, you can dump whatever you want, and then on the other side, we're saying no, let's actually save the water and make it drinkable and not pollute it. You know, interesting, interesting contrast, because they really bring up for us, you know, like, well, what actually is it you value, you know, and more importantly, why, you know, why do you value water? Well, because we need it, you know, it's like an important, it's an important component of life on many levels. So interesting.
Without
that's a great thing that he's doing to get the, to help Flint get water.
Now, well, let's see it when it happens, but it he meant it, and let's see what he can do.
Yeah.
Well, he could be blocked by the White House.
It could be.
Don't you
could
give
be
water
that
to those
if
people?
They can, if they can be difficult, they will.
Yeah. Yeah, but we are being invited to look and see who should have power and control over resources like water. And we have to make a decision as a people.
Right.
And just say, well, it can be controlled by private interests. That's totally all right. Or we can say, no, it's too important and too essential to let private interests decide how it's divided up.
Right, right. Yeah, because then it becomes not a right. It becomes a resource, and it isn't. It's the people's water. It's not the country's. It's not a. It's not a private resource.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we need it. Yeah. It's not like you can, you know, you can go a day without water. You just. It's not. It doesn't happen. So.
Yeah, it's, but, a, it's a basic, essential.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So interesting that this is running at that time.
Yeah.
I we've said that this is going to be a key year for that, around floods and water quality issues, while Jupiter and Neptune were in a solid trine and in water signs. So I also have seen it in the, you know, good on the good news, we're working hard on water quality, and the bad side has been the some people have immersed themselves in delusion and stayed there. And that can be, you know, that the negative side of Neptune, just getting lost in that. We also saw the opioid addiction really become a crisis this year with Jupiter trine Neptune and the desire to escape into spirit and escape from the tension.
Escape from the world, yeah.
Yeah.
It can be a little hard out there, you know. People are really feeling like overwhelmed, or, you know, kind of like, wow, what, you know, what am I doing? And then there's the option to say, okay, if I stay sober, you know, what actually do I get if I do that, you know? You know, other than an awareness of all the things I can't fix or control. So a lot of people, where they're in the despair place, they're kind of looking and going, well, I'm in despair. It's like, well, okay, you know, but one person can really make a difference. And all of us together can, so work on the thing that you're really interested in, because that will actually, that's the opposite of Virgo. You go to the seventh house. My mother used to have this thing, you know, if you were busy being, you were busy, you wouldn't necessarily, totally good for a Venus in Virgo, but if you were busy, you wouldn't realize, you know, what you didn't have. You'd be busy taking care of what needed to be done, and everybody would be happier, you know. And it was, I have it hanging on my wall. I should actually probably by this point have it memorized, but I don't.
That's
but the
a
net
good
of it was
Virgo and training.
You know, the opposite of Virgo, of Pisces, which is the, you know, opioid epidemic and all that, is service or doing some Virgo thing. So
right. And another thing I saw, you know, they did, it's not the be-all and end-all of the test, but there's one test they did that felt very Neptunian, where they put a rat in a cage and they gave it the choice between a bottle of water and a bottle of water with opioids in it. And most rats just went straight for the opioids and were dead within 2 weeks. And someone said, this is not a fair test. Let's put them in rat park. And they made this park where there was sex, there were other rats, there was fun, there was food, there was entertainment,
there was adventures,
and most of them chose the bottle, the water.
The bottle of water.
And that they would still taste the other stuff, but they wouldn't do it till their destruction.
Right.
And that, you know, the point, one of the things of Neptune is connection. It's a feeling of connectedness to the, to all sentient beings, of, you know, both of hope, but also feeling at one on a good day, that's the best of Neptune. And it's, see, you know, there are so many other factors that are involved with addictive cycles, but that felt like a really important part. That's something we can work with, is how do we create where there is connection and hope, there is, it's not that there's no drugs. You know, certainly we see Anthony Bourdain and other high celebrity suicides this year have pointed out, like, you can have everything and you still want to kill yourself.
Right.
But for the majority of people, if they have hope and they have a sense of connection, there's no need to disappear like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't actually want to go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. It's so totally true. Yeah.
How do we make our own worlds feeling less overwhelming and more at one and connected? And we can kind of keep an eye on that ourselves when we notice we're feeling disconnected and we're not feeding our Neptune in one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can have troubles.
The grand shine in water in this eclipse is a good one to hang on to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I agree.
Because well, it's funny, I had somebody for dinner and we were chatting and her comment was, you know, there was a class which she was, you know, signed up for, but it was 80 degrees. And it was a choice between the cast and the swimming pool. And she said, I went with the swimming pool, you know. And I'm like, yeah, positive Neptune, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go for it. So I think that's the other part, is there's a lot of positive Neptune out there that you can do,
yeah,
too, where that,
yeah,
sense of community and connectedness and relatedness comes in, and you kind of are like, oh, okay, I'm up for it, I'm into it, I'm ready for it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good, yeah. So it's very cool. It's like it's an interesting, interesting times we live in. And I do think with the eclipses, because they are on, you know, the Mars is out of bounds and it's on the South Node, it is a really big time of releasing things. So if you are addicted, it's a really good time to get help, or you have things,
mm-hmm,
you need to get out the door to do, it's a great time to get those things out the door and done, because the,
mm-hmm,
energy is really supporting wrapping up things and finishing up things and saying, okay, what else do I need to get this finished, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cool. And we had Jupiter
wonderful.
Go direct, so we're now moving,
yep,
forward with the big guy. And we have a Supreme Court judge nominated, and I was interested. Heather, Mark and I looked at his chart briefly. He's an Aquarian 1965 model, February 12th. Did you get a chance to look at his chart? Did you have any feelings
about
it?
What was the data again?
I think it's the 12th of February, 1965. Let me pull them up.
Uh-huh.
I think I have
them. Yeah, I think that's right. In,
yeah,
Washington, D.C.
And we don't have
a
time?
We don't have a time. No, not
okay.
yet.
I did, yeah, take a preliminary peek at it, but I'd forgotten what it was. And, yes, that's,
yeah,
right.
February 12th, 1965, mm-hmm, Washington.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Aquarius, Moon in Cancer. With that lineup in Virgo. Uranus,
a big lineup
Pluto,
in Virgo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So all those born in 1965 when the world was changing. But it's interestingly trine Jupiter in Taurus. And the Jupiter in Taurus, you know, feels very, you know, I could have revolution or I could have status quo. I could be comfortable or I could change. You see that all over his chart, actually. There's a strong,
yeah,
T-square. He's got Jupiter-Neptune opposition, and I would ask him about, you know, blood sugar issues, both trining his Mercury and Venus, which doesn't sound to me like a particularly clear-thinking person.
Mm-hmm. Even though
he
has with
excellent
Venus,
credentials.
Yeah, how about with that Mercury and Aquarius, though, up there?
Mm-hmm.
But that, you think that because that squares the Neptune, yes?
That worries me, the square of the Neptune and Jupiter, you know, in that,
mm-hmm,
T-square with Jupiter, that, you know, he may be actually more forward-thinking than the Republicans think he is.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see what, I don't know what degree his moon in
Cancer is.
Cancer is, because that's going to make a big difference.
Right.
Does it trine into, does it aspect the Uranus and Pluto? Does it aspect Saturn? You know, what planet is it most connected to? Is it?
Well, or is it in conjunct to Venus and Aquarius?
Right. So that's going to be, that would be great to find that out. But what was your impression of this chart?
Well, I'm sure the Senate panel will ask him his time of birth.
If we could only hope, right.
If only we could do that. Dianne Feinstein, get his time of birth out of him. Get that birth certificate, man. Yeah. You know, that really should be one of the criteria for being a Supreme Court judge. You got to turn over your birth certificate, baby.
Right.
So, yeah. So.
And, you know, it's going to be interesting. He's not, you know, the base is not happy with this choice because he's a Washington insider.
Mm-hmm.
I know they want him to overturn Roe versus Wade, but I don't necessarily see that being what his choice would be.
Yeah, depending on how it shows up at the court.
Right.
What the case is about. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's not a
mm-hmm.
simple for or against certain
mm-hmm.
political viewpoints.
Right.
It's actual cases.
I was a little bit more worried about the woman that almost got promoted because she looked like she had a real... one of those very brittle women that isn't pro-women.
Yeah, I didn't like her chart at all. Yeah.
Right, I didn't either.
I had a huge problem with her, but she didn't get promoted. So rumor has
Mm-mm.
it she didn't. She, you know, the CNN reported that she hadn't gotten along with Donald when she met him.
Oh.
And
yeah.
her, you know, her Cancer moon on his Venus Saturn probably set him off
mm-hmm.
a little. So
mm-hmm.
I thought about that, like what would be the chart that would trigger her to not get along. And
mm-hmm.
I think that was it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was very worried about her chart. But she didn't get the nom, so.
Right.
And he apparently didn't like her, so that's a good thing because he picks based on who he likes. So
right.
that
really?
Means
him.
He doesn't get picked, huh?
Right. And who likes him? And
who
that's
likes
what I thought.
Him, yeah.
I said, there's no way she's going to be nice to him.
Right.
And this chart, you know, I think she was an independent thinker, but I just felt this brittle and something had shut down about the feminine side of her.
Yeah.
His chart, and I may be wrong, so that's just what I picked up. With this guy, I think he likes to coddle people in power is one of
yeah.
my impressions with him. So
right.
that... by doing so, he looks like he agrees with him more than he does. And I'm hoping he's actually more of, you know, a traditionalist, goes back to the Constitution, rather than a radical.
Right.
Once he no longer, if he becomes a Supreme Court judge, no one has any power over him, and he won't have to coddle up to anybody.
Right.
And he
yeah,
may start acting differently.
Yeah, he could break
yeah.
through.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and also with them, I always find when they have the moon in Cancer, or not always, but very often mm-hmm. find when men have the moon in Cancer, they kind of do little boy with the
mm-hmm.
authority figure. So he would have done
mm-hmm.
little boy with Trump and been like admiring
mm-hmm.
or whatever, you know, whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
solicitous,
mm-hmm.
you know, oh, you're the wise
right.
older guy
mm-hmm.
and you're
mm-hmm.
great and da-da-da. And, of course, his node in Gemini kind of pushes that along a little, you know, like I can be very charming with you, and I'm obsequious as the young boy looking for wisdom from the elder, which totally Trump would lick up like a cat with cream, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
I think he knew how to play him, you know. So that's good, for us
yeah.
on that level.
Well,
you know, so
it's an interesting situation. His chart could act in very different ways because he's sort of like, you know. You remember, let me just get through school, and then I'll tell people how I feel. You know, I'll really, really set them right, you know. And then you get through school, and you say, well, now I got to do my advanced degree. And once I get
uh-huh.
that advanced degree, then I can really tell people what the deal is, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then you,
uh-huh.
you finish that, and you realize, well, I really need to do a special training And when I get through that, and then it's when I get to be a full professor, then I'm going to tell everybody. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, well,
right.
When you sit on the Supreme Court, there's nowhere further to go.
Right.
That's it. So mm-hmm. It kind of gives him permission to go ahead and tell everybody what you, the deal is, you know.
If he knows what the deal is. If he knows
right.
What he really thinks. And that's
yeah, well, that's
going to be a question.
Yeah, exactly.
But
there could
yeah.
be some surprises for us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Absolutely. And that, I wonder how that's all going to settle out with the Supreme Court, because the other question is whether or not a president who's under investigation can promote somebody. You know,
mm-hmm.
they stole that Supreme Court nominee from Obama by refusing to pay attention when he was well within his legal limit to be doing so, to be
right.
putting this forward. And I think that I don't think that we have enough clout in the Senate and the House of Representatives to block this at the moment, unfortunately. So I was kind of relieved to see he wasn't as bad as I was afraid was going to be there. I'm not for him, but I'm not. I don't think the sky is falling from this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. Yeah.
Here it is.
I thought it was an interesting chart, though. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Absolutely.
So let's see if we have any callers. We don't have any callers. Where are the callers? They're supposed to call in.
Where are they?
It's
everybody's
the night of the eclipse.
On vacation.
Everybody's on vacay having fun. Yeah.
I did the talk last week, also quiet, but we had quite a few listeners that were just not on schedule.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah.
So they called in when we said, hey, call in and raise your hand. We'll take your calls. Nope.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and the call-in number 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. You'd be the only caller in queue. You would get in. If that's an incentive. And if you're on vacay and you're not listening, that's okay too.
Yeah.
Merry vacation, you know. We should
so
all be on vacation.
I was just noticing that the eclipse, you know, America's chart, I was pulled it up, the Sibley chart, July 4th, 1776 at 5:15 p.m. in Philadelphia. Mercury is at 24 Cancer, and Pluto's 27 Capricorn. So the eclipse isn't going to be on those, but they're going to begin to talk to that and beginning to activate, I think, the first feelings around the Pluto opposition that we feel coming up in the American chart. And it's interesting that both of those last possibilities for the Supreme Court person had their Cancer moon sitting very close to America's stellium, or three planets in Cancer.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It'll be an interesting process that we're keeping our eyes on. Now, we have a lot of planets going retrograde this summer. So one of the things I'd love to hear, we'll have six planets retrograde through most of August.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mercury goes retrograde in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. It's in shadow already.
Let's brainstorm some good things to do while all these planets are retrograde.
I am finishing up projects. I have a list of projects
mm-hmm.
that I'm going to finish up that are, you know, kind of hanging and, you know, they've kind of grown some hair and maybe a little moss. And I'm kind of like, all right, I got to get them finished and I got to get out the door. And if I don't get them out the door, I'm done with them. I'm not going to keep I'm going to do that. They either get done or they're dead. And my deadline
right.
is Mars clearing his shadow on October 10th, but most of them are this summer. So
right.
that's
Good.
My plan.
Before
that's my bit.
August 27th when Mars
before
goes direct.
August, yeah, before the Mars goes direct.
So we
but,
have
I mean,
someone
once the Mars
caller?
Goes direct, I'm giving myself a little extra time, huh?
We do have a caller. Let's give them a shot.
Hey, we have a caller. Okay, let's take the call.
Hello.
Hi there. You came in. You're a caller. What's your question? We're so excited you called.
Hi, how are you doing? I love you guys. You're so great.
Thank you.
I just was wondering, where is love? I am just not meeting anybody, and it's just killing me already.
And your birth idea, birth info?
Is 4/22/59, 11:56 a.m., New York, New York.
Okay.
4/22/59, 11:56.
11:56 a.m., New York, New York.
Okay.
Okay. What'd you say? Sorry?
How long have you been out of relationship?
Years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And?
I mean, I did meet somebody 4 years ago that I fell in love with, which more than anybody in my life, but he said he wasn't with somebody, and he is, so that didn't work. But, you know, we're still kind of friends, and, you know, I travel a lot, and I don't know what's going on.
And
even my career
know,
is, like, dead. I don't know what's going on with that. I mean, oh, my God.
Oh, but you've got Uranus going back and forth over your sun and over your midheaven this year. So there's a lot of changes coming up. And I think one reason why you're feeling so discontent is because you're ready to make some big changes. Because you have a grand trine yourself in Earth signs with the sun, Pluto, and Saturn all forming grand trine in Earth signs natally.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
you're born as Uranus is coming over the ascendant, so you have a really good outgoing personality when people first meet you. But
mm-hmm.
they don't, you don't notice how intimidating you are. I don't think you're that easy to approach, and you think you're just being friendly and outgoing. But you've got Pluto in the first house forming a grand trine in Earth signs. So I think your career has taken a lot of pressure in this lifetime. I think that one of the issues may be that with Mars in Cancer in the 11th house, that you're not comfortable setting boundaries. That moon in Libra wants to be too nice.
Mm-hmm.
And so you keep everybody more at a distance than you know.
Mm.
Because it's hard for you to say no to them or to limit them when they get too close.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you might want to look at how the messages you send out. Like, I want people to come in when I want them, but not when I don't. You know, so
mm-hmm.
that you can send out a more clear set of messages to the world. Please come share my life and love.
I know. But
take no for an answer when I say it.
I know, because everyone meets me. I don't understand. You're so pretty. You're so gorgeous. You're so this.
Mm-hmm.
My whole life looks the same. And I look so much younger than I am. And
mm-hmm.
thank God for that. And it's just still. And then I said, wow, it's not like anyone I ever wanted I always got. But it's
mm-hmm.
like I just never meet anyone I like. It
mm-hmm.
just takes years. And then,
well,
you know.
Yeah, you're also, I would say you don't give them much of a chance either.
Well, I just don't feel anything. You don't have to feel. I think I'm only
right.
falling in love with, like, past life lovers. That's what I really think.
Yeah, well, it's Saturn in the fifth house. You can do that. You
Isn't
know, you
Saturn
can, you,
the fifth house the worst, though? Does that, like, block?
No, you fall in love with older, competent people.
Uh-huh.
And
so
but it's often that it's not
coming?
Easy to find love early in your life.
That's for sure. Well, I was married at 19. But do you
mm-hmm.
think there's anything in
But were
there
you in love?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was. Yeah, I was.
How old
but
was your partner?
Of 3 years older. But after
yeah,
that,
only
every
three.
Man has been younger. Everybody's
mm-hmm.
been younger.
Well, see, I'd
but
say
you
that you need that you're never going to be content with somebody who's younger than you.
Really?
They have to be competent or you stay in control and the control issues become an issue in the relationship.
Oh, but I'm never attracted to anyone older or even my age. They're just so old-looking.
Well, then maybe that's your self, it's lack of self-love and acceptance about the changes that you're in that makes it so judgmental of people your age. That
I don't think it's
might
even
make
judgmental.
It harder.
I think that if I met somebody and I felt it, even if they were older, I would care. It's not like I say,
mm-hmm.
how old are
mm-hmm.
you? I just, you know, I don't know. But there's nothing you can see that you think love is coming.
Oh, there's lots of possibilities, but I think the question is more, what changes can you make that would make love more, make you more accessible to love?
Mm-hmm.
You've got your progressed Mars about to hit your ascendant and move into the first house. Also looks great for meeting people.
Yep,
your progressed
totally.
Sun has got a year and a half left in Gemini before it goes into Cancer, and you're ready to settle down and open your heart more. There's some good
oh.
things coming.
Oh my
what do you
God.
Say, Anne?
Yeah, I would say it's coming. I think, you know, I think that the energy of that, a lot of the changes that are coming will be very helpful. And also,
mm-hmm.
as the nodes go into Cancer Capricorn, you know, they're going to kind of kick up and make you go, okay, what am I actually looking for in terms of partner? What is partner? What does partner feel like, or what do I want? And with Jupiter in the fourth, and as you have your Jupiter return, you enter a big relationship time. The 60s, 60 to 72 patch is a big relationship because Jupiter rules is one of your big relationship planets. Rules
you
your second marriage house.
Sag in the fall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Because he rules
so
your second relationship house. Huh? Pardon?
Oh, that'll be good for me. Oh, my God. I love you guys so
yeah.
much. You're all so brilliant. Annie, I listen to your podcast every week. You're all so brilliant, all of you. I'm so happy. I'm so glad. Now and I said, oh, my God, I'm calling right now. And I was like, oh,
well, good
nice
luck
to say,
on this.
There's no callers on the line. Call in, go in.
I know. I was
and,
like, I'm
and
calling.
Good
I'm calling.
Luck on this. And make sure you look at the message you're sending to let your heart open and know that you can open and still keep healthy boundaries.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I love
Maybe do a little bit of a workbook. Do a little bit of a workbook on
a workbook.
What do you mean? What love is
like a vision
like.
Board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, that would be good.
And say
and
what
let
I
it,
want.
Let
you
it
mean?
Surprise you. Well, say what you want, but also don't think it through too much. Just say what would surprise you. What's something
I know I can't be alone anymore. I'm dying with that moon in Libra. I'm like dying. I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
you're
going to
do
leader.
It. You can change.
Yeah,
okay.
So
nice.
I think we're over for the night.
Okay.
And
we're done.
We'll
the
Prince
Lady spoke. Right. Yep.
Thank
so
you.
So have fun.
Bye,
good
guys.
Luck. Keep us posted.
Thank
you're
so
welcome.
Much.
Let us know.
Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And we'll see you all next week.
Yeah, we're all signing off, and everybody have a good time. This is Ann Ortley signing off from the Bright Red Desk. So long, farewell.
And Mark.
And Heather Rowan Robbins. Talk to you next week.
Have a great eclipse, folks. Have fun. Hang on tight.
Bye.
It's going to be a ride. Bye.
Okay.
Bye.